I call questions without notice.
Who did what when? Who said what when?
Thank you for your point of order.
Every last tidbit of information for entertainment purposes.
Are there any questions?
There are questions, a lot of them. And in the House for question time this evening, we have Melissa Clark, federal politics reporter for ABC News 24. Good evening, Melissa.
Good to be back.
Also with you in Canberra is Andrew Mears, chief photographer for Fairfax in the Canberra Bureau. Good evening, Andrew.
Hi, Cassie. Long-time listener, first-time contestant.
Excellent. We'll put you through the ropes. And with me in Sydney is Mark Humphreys from The Roast on ABC News, ABC TV2.
Yes, that's ABC correct. 2's The Roast, that's right. Yes, a very high-profile show, and it's great to be here.
Now, you recently, or not so recently, the show's moved to 7.30.
Yes, we used to be on at the wonderful time slot of 10 past 8, and then
memorable.
We got moved to half past 7, so we're up against the 7.30 report. So if you want something a little bit, I was going to say lighter, but we're just as hard-hitting, but
yes, that's your alternative. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
All right, on RN Drive. It's time to get into it.
Order! Round one.
Order!
Everyone calls in the house, a house where nobody lives. Once it held laughter.
Oh, look, I'm being told I've got to pull this music down, but it's so fantastic. Tom Waits, of course. Oh, I love him so much. Now, this is for you, Andrew Mears. On Monday, there was a lockdown of the ministerial wing of Parliament House. You were in the thick of it. Which member of the upper house went down and personally helped out the federal police?
That would be the President of the Senate, Senator Parry.
Correct. Now, he was out there. He was basically helping people. What was he doing?
Well, I was across the road, keeping my distance from the security cordon, and I think I did hear him say, "Oh, no, I'm not here checking passes," as everyone had to display their passes to get into the building. They decided to close the usual ground floor entrance into ministerial, which then meant hardworking staffers mainly had to come in through the car park entrance, the tradesman's entrance.
It's probably also worth noting that he might have been the only one out there with the extra security that probably had a legitimate reason for being there. I think everyone else was getting selfies or piece to cameras with the AFP with their extra automatic rifles and, for all the beefed up security, they were pretty relaxed about the novelty value of having such security around Parliament House.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you if there's a change in atmosphere at all, but it doesn't sound like it's being taken too seriously.
No, I found we've always had a close working relationship with the security guards inside the building. We see them every day when we come through airport style security, and I make a point of always saying thank you because those guys are on the front line of the interaction here. And then with the added presence this week, there are rules around photographing security that are quite strict. We're not allowed to do it. But I must say this week, the guys with the SR-16s are quite happy to walk around and be photographed. So I think there's part of the visible policing is an important message they're trying to send. At the same time, they're going at great lengths to keep the building open. And I think this is a really important factor. I mean, Jurgler's design allowed you to walk on the roof. You're allowed to come into question time. We encourage people to do that. So they do have a tricky balancing act here to keep the place open and keep the place safe because the threat, as we saw on Tuesday down in Melbourne, can be very random and very deadly. And I must admit, having travelled with the Prime Minister this year to the White House, I've been to the Capitol before, to the Indian Parliament. This place is still pretty open compared to similar institutions elsewhere.
Yeah, it's interesting because I remember when the competition was held to design the Parliament House and architects all around the country put in their submissions, this was chosen actually because it was meant to be as accessible as possible to the general public, and this has ended up being...
And there's the symbolism of being able to have people on top of the parliament. You know, everyone knows the big grassy slopes to walk up underneath the flagpole. There's symbolism in that the people can be over the top of the parliament, that they are at the highest point. But that also creates all sorts of security issues. I mean, I don't think the architects had security planning in mind when they necessarily came up with the design of the building.
Yeah, it's a whole other era.
Well, it's very dangerous when school children are rolling down that grass. they could take someone out.
Just school children, Mark?
Indeed.
All right, now on to question two. Melissa Clark, this is for you. Bronwyn Bishop hit a milestone this week and kicked out her 200th Member of Parliament. Can you tell us who it was?
Oh, who was the 200th? Well, look, I'd probably have pretty good odds if I said Graham Perrett, because that's a favourite. But I'm pretty sure he was 198 or 199 on that night.
No, Nick Chairpin was 199.
Oh, was it? Okay, there's another favourite. Yep.
Graham Perrett actually tweeted that he was robbed.
Well, I can tell you it's not Joel Fitzgibbon because there was a bit of flirting going on between Bronwyn Bishop and Joel Fitzgibbon in the house the other day.
Oh, really? What, like?
I don't think it was him. Or was it?
It might have been.
It was.
He was an outsider.
It was Joel Fitzgibbon.
It was an outsider. Top tip for Melbourne Cup is keep going eye on the long odds.
There you go.
Yes, that's right. It was the day after. It was the day after that she threw Joel Fitzgibbon out.
Oh, well, obviously.
That they had a bit of a rapprochement.
Well, there is. I mean, I'm in there almost every day. And it's
punishing
interesting
job. It's a punishing the job if you've got there, Andrew. But yes.
I love it. There is a radius around the speaker that you have a higher frequency. So Perrott, Christensen, the member for Griffith, Terry Butler, and where Joel sits and Dreyfus, they're all very close to the speaker, so she can hear almost every utterance that they make, where there's others who are quite vocal, but they sit a long way away. So there is a little bit of geography involved in this statistic.
I see. It's only if the teacher
you look at the
catches
numbers,
you.
The numbers on the government benches, I think it's sitting at 4. So we're on 199 Labor and 4 for the government side.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now, we've got our next question, question 3 in round 1. This is for you, Mark Humphreys. Here's Senator Jackie Lambie speaking in the upper house on Monday. Can you fill in the beep?
It's not going to come as a shock when I tell you that I'm not an
I'm not a...
God, I'm not a...
I'm not
a softie. no, I didn't happen to catch that. It wasn't when her phone rate went off, was it?
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
No, I don't know what she isn't.
Any other takers?
Ooh.
I can't recall that one.
It
no.
could be so many things, no. Cassie. We know what she is.
That's tempting,
but we don't know what
answer.
She's not.
All right, well, let's hear the rest of it.
I'm not an Islamic scholar.
Brilliant.
Many things, indeed. Mark Humphreys, is Jackie Lambie, Senator Jackie Lambie, selling herself short?
I'll let her insider's appearance speak for itself. But,
I have to say, that reminds me of Tony Abbott's I'm Not a Tech Head on 7:30 a while back when he was trying to deflect questions. So it was a bit of a, you might not be, but you might not want to put it that way.
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that. That's a beauty, yeah. On RN, I'm Cassie McCullough, and this is our regular Friday Question Time quiz. Our guests are Melissa Clark, who's federal politics reporter for ABC News 24, Andrew Mears, chief photographer for Fairfax in the Canberra Bureau, and Mark Humphreys from The Roast. Time now for...
Order!
Round 2.
Order!
The bright side of the road.
I come for the quiz, I stay for the classic hits.
I was just thinking we must be moving away from politics now if we move to the bright side of the road.
Well, no, actually, Melissa Clark. This is a question for you. Here is a Question Time favourite of ours, Mr. Clive Palmer, responding to questions from journalists this week. What was his response to this question?
Did you say that Senator Jackie Lambie wasn't very bright this morning in the conversation?
No.
Did you say Dairy Wang wasn't very bright?
Yes.
Yes. He then went on to say, no, and you mustn't be very bright. Well, something to that effect. He questioned the brightness of the Guardian journalist Bridie, who was asking those questions.
Oh, Bridie Jabour, that
yes,
guy.
Yes, yes, indeed.
No. You think wasn't very bright?
No, I just don't think you're very bright.
Oh, cop that.
He likes to play a bit rough with the media. We heard on PM a little earlier on in the evening, he's hanging up on Pat McGrath on PM when he sort of gets to questions he doesn't want to answer or gets a bit sick of answering. He's happy to lash back or hang up the phone.
Yes, and when he was discussing his safe haven enterprise visa discussion, I noticed that he was telling some of the journalists there to hear it that when they retired, which would have to be very soon, they might want to come up to his electorate Fairfax and find him some work because he was plenty up there for retired hacks.
I believe the journalist he said that to was about mid-20s as well. So
I understand they'll have to bring their own golf buggies, though. I understand that the three of them were stolen or something.
But plenty of dinosaurs. Lots of that.
Well, that's good, because I don't know how I'd get my dinosaur from Canberra to Cool. I mean, it's the logistical challenges of that are enormous. I'm very glad they're pre-supplied.
Indeed. Now, Mark Humphreys, Mr. Palmer was referring, as you might have alluded to, a mini-scandal, but not about golf clubs, buggies. A strange mini-scandal from this week, in which he was alleged to have said that his pup senators were not very bright, but at the trough. Now, what is the trough?
They were not very bright at the trough? Is that the full quote?
He was talking at the trough and supposedly was overheard saying this.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, trough. Well, in that case, I'm guessing he was relieving himself. Is that the trough we're talking about? Or is it the trough?
Mark, hope not. I'm about to change some
you
habits.
And,
of
you and
House
Senator Lambie are one in the same.
Because that's kind of what she thought too. What is the trough, you Canberra insiders?
Well, we have a wonderful staff cafeteria here, that's your classic stand in front of a hot steaming bit of glass and point at the food offering.
Just that has a slightly derogatory nickname.
Yeah, so it's
okay.
Well, it's funny. You know, the old Parliament House, I don't think had a cafeteria, but they certainly had a trough, and you could bump into members of Parliament standing at that trough because it's mainly blokes in those days. And I think perhaps the language has translated up to here to the
beverage
trough. It's one of the few places you can actually bump into a politician and get a scoop like this, I guess.
Does it actually have a name? Do we know what it's really called? Or is it just the cafe?
I think it's just the staff cafeteria.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the trough.
Yeah, it's the trough. It's only known as the trough. I don't
see you at the trough. I can understand how newcomers might get confused. Now, Andrew Mears, speaking of things bright, Prime Minister Tony Abbott spoke at the UN General Assembly overnight, and he quoted a certain former Australian Prime Minister. Who was that?
That would be the engine driver from Bathurst, Mr. Ben Chifley.
Bonus points. What was the quote?
Oh, a bit light on the hill. I mean, that's the beacon of hope, light on the hill. But I noticed he didn't reference that it was a Labor Prime Minister. Australian Prime Minister.
Yeah, and no other adjectives, not great Here it is.
One of our Prime Ministers once talked about a great objective, our light on the hill, as he put it.
Does the UN Assembly care about that? Is that, I don't know, it just seems a strange thing to bring up.
Look, it was a very domestic speech. I mean, the speech that he gave did have a lot of talking points that anyone who's followed what he says on a regular basis would have heard many times before. So it was an unusual speech in that sense to make sort of Australian references, and there was a lot of references to Australia's domestic situation.
Yeah, when he brought up the Daddo brothers, I thought that was a bit much.
I just find it interesting that even at the international level, he's still bringing up issues of Labor, not just the great or not great, depending on your political point of view, Ben Chifley, but he often likes to talk about in Parliament, the great days of Hawke and Keating, and harking back to the great Labor Party, and likes to talk about the damage the current leaders are doing to the once great Labor Party. So he certainly has this very rose-tinted view of the Labor Party of times gone by. Perhaps he had a bit of a struggle back in the days of his political allegiances, because he does look very fondly back on the past Labor eras.
Yes, bipartisanship ship through the goggles of history.
Through the past of time.
That's right. I don't think it's only the first time he's quoted The Light on the Hill. I think when we were looking this up today, there was another time he'd used it as well. So obviously,
I think there's multiple references. Yeah. I've certainly heard him mention it a number of times.
Yeah, and I've actually sat in Ben Chifley's kitchen with the current leader of the opposition because not this year, last year, he gave the Ben Chifley address in the upstairs room at the Bathurst RSL. And I must say the General Assembly is somewhat grander than the upstairs room at the Bathurst RSL. And Penny Wong, I think, gave that very speech a week or two ago too. So I'm sure there was a few raised eyebrows.
Well, since you're an expert on Chifley, can you give us a year when the Light on the Hill speech came?
No, I know his kitchen's probably very in vogue now. I mean, you must go to the house there. It's untouched. It's
a really?
Perfect
it
specimen.
It is a fantastic museum of 1950s Australiana. So I'm going to have to give you a hand over to smarter minds than I.
You got to have a guess there, Mark.
Can I say 54?
Ooh, yes. Well, close. Ooh. Within 5 years. It's actually 1949.
Oh, dear.
Ooh. The Labor Party conference. I know that because I rang up the library today to see if we had a recording of it, and the reply came back, keep dreaming. I don't think people were wandering around with recording devices all the time in 1949. Okay, now, on we go. Melissa Clark, a question for you. I'm going to play you a clip, and you need to tell us who is this speaking and who are they talking about?
After 20 years in this place, I think it's about time you grew up.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be fun. That was Senator George Brandis, the Attorney General and Savage Club member. And that would have been Conroy he was referring to, although there's probably many that he could have referred to because he was getting a bit of shtick from a few. This was when he was being questioned in Question Time about his allegiances. In this case, he's apparently a new member of the Savage Club, a men's only club. And there was much discussion about what that involved in terms of initiations and greetings, and it led to some very bizarre scenes in Senate.
Full marks.
That remark.
Absolutely correct. Full marks. Here's the full quote.
After 20 years in this place, Senator Conroy, I think it's about time you grew up.
Now, the whole saga emerged out of this, Mark Humphreys. I'm going to play you some more audio of Senator Doug Cameron describing the initiation rituals from the Savage Club. And you have to tell us what happened next.
To make guttural noises and beat their chest.
I saw this. Bill Heffernan appeared out of nowhere to beat Doug's chest. Yes, that was it's great footage. Check it out.
Well, it seems we need security not just outside and inside the building, but inside the chamber as well.
Well, if anyone's going to cause a security issue, it's clearly going to be Bill Heffernan.
Bill Heffernan, that's probably a fair point.
Well, Senator Heffernan later apologised, sort of. Andrew Mears, what kind of excuse did he give for his behaviour?
He was an act of chivalry. He felt that Dougie Cameron, given his Scottish past, had choked on his haggis and he leaned over to thump him in the chest.
Well, I think you're dead right. We have someone on the line joining us now for our cameo appearance, our secret guest tonight. And he's the person who survived that choking scare.
Oh.
Good evening, Senator Cameron.
Hi, Cassie. How are you?
Hey.
Was that a fair and accurate account of events?
It was, I think, a very understated account of the event.
Now, you said something along the lines that that Senator Heffernan was prone to sort of some kind of colourful behaviour. What were you referring to?
Bizarre behaviour.
Bizarre.
Bizarre behaviour. And I don't think that that Bill would be suing me for saying that publicly.
Now, I have in front of me the Melbourne Savage Club's printout from their website where it describes it. It says, hospitable rooms provide a rare ambience for the many member performances showcasing their musical, theatrical and artistic talents for wonderfully eccentric social occasions. Is this a club that you'd like to join?
I don't think even if I wanted to join, they'd ever let me in. I don't think I can hit the grade for pomposity that would be required to be a member of that club.
Well, I'm not sure you'd want to be a member of a club that would have George Brandis as a member. You'd be there reading the newspaper, you'd be peering over your shoulder the whole time, keeping tabs on what you're reading. I don't think it'd really kill your buzz.
No, well, if I was reading the Socialist Alternative in the Savage Club, I think I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Can you still get that?
I don't know.
Well, it's good to know that membership is offered to gentlemen only based upon the criteria of good fellowship and shared interests. So
yeah, and once you get in behind those scarlet doors,
scarlet doors,
who
yes.
knows what goes on?
That's right. What about you, Melissa Kayak? Is it a club that you'd like to join if you are able to?
Well, I think a club that doesn't want to necessarily have half of the population, even as potential members, is possibly not one I'm seeking to join. But I have to say, I was a bit intrigued when you said that you mentioned fellowship there being one of the elements of the club, and perhaps that explains why George Brandis was certainly keen to be a member, because I heard him talking today in Melbourne ahead of the grand final, and he was saying people shouldn't be worried about the security situation at the moment. They should go to the football finals. They should be able to enjoy each other's company and enjoy each other's fellowship. I'm thinking, I don't know anyone else, but I go to the footy, I'm there to sort of, you know, just scream the lungs down and shout at the spotter. I'm not quite going for fellowship, but
you want
clearly
to
Brandis
all the opposition.
Exactly. So I think perhaps Brandis has found a home for himself.
Well, I'm not sure there's going to be too many bohemians at the grand final. The grand final.
I don't know about that. I don't know. There's some pretty wild outfits that you do see.
I'm sure there will be some, but not of George's ilk.
I don't know a lot about gentlemen's clubs, but my understanding is that many of them, 18C actually stands for the age and cup size of the entertainment. Is that right?
Well, when you say gentlemen's club and scarlet door, I have to say there are a few things come to mind that was not necessarily what I wanted to have in mind. As
when I was looking up some of the issues for my speech, what really, really intrigued me was this great dispute that happened in 2011. Where they wanted to increase the height of the rail coming down the stairs by 4 inches, because all these sodden members had been falling over and they were afraid somebody would be killed.
Oh, this is sounding like my kind of club, actually.
And the Savage Club was described as the more sodden alternative to the Melbourne Club.
There you go. You know, I've been wasting my time at the CWA.
I'm a member of Panthers, you know, in Western Sydney, and go the Panthers this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's what your call is.
But that's my line for a club, not the Savage Club, where you beat your chest and make guttural noises when you beat each other.
Can you be a member of the Savage Club and Team Australia, or are they mutually exclusive?
No, I don't think you could be a member of Team Australia if you were behaving as they do in the Savage Club.
Steam Australia, maybe. Yeah. Well, Senator Doug Cameron, thank you very much for joining us and giving your account of this extraordinary event.
And good luck to all the pompous prats in the Savage Club.
Get your final word in there, Senator Doug Cameron, part of this strange, bizarre event that was in our Parliament, in our Senate this week. You're listening to RN Drive. I'm Cassie McCullough, and we have with us three guests who are competing for there's no prize. It's just pride now.
It's dignity, yeah.
I can tell you, Mirzi's is competing for your attention and affection, though, Cassie. He's keen to make a good impression.
Oh, well, that'll surely be over.
He's blushing now.
Any
I'm going to get
moment
in trouble.
Now, I forgot to play the sting for round three, so I'll play the one for round four.
Order!
Round four.
Order!
Then it's told of how you done me wrong. Someone told my story in a song.
Yes, it's RN Easy Listening. My story might be the clue there. As you know, this is the final round, so anyone can jump in at any time with the answer as soon as you know it. All these comments were made by Julia Gillard about her colleagues in My Story, her newly released memoir. All you have to do is tell us who she was talking about. Number one, the workload overwhelmed him.
Bob Carr.
Yes. come on, boys, you're going to have me fast.
I got to jump in. I'm not competitive at all, I swear.
Really, I'm not. I'm not.
You are fast on your feet, Mr. Clark.
All right, what about this one? I liked him, but was never beguiled. That's hard.
See, Melissa and I were confessing, I actually missed the Gillard Ray Martin interview because I was standing on the stairs at Fairburn, literally waving goodbye to the Prime Minister as he head off to you know how the Prime Minister climbs up the stairs and then turns around and waves? It's usually to, you know.
Well, it usually has to be to people like Mizzy because he's the one taking the photos and there's no one else around. Yeah, it's a personal wave.
So Julie was there on the television, but I'd moved on. I've moved on to the current Prime Minister, so I must admit I haven't read this book yet.
Wyatt Roy must be fairly beguiled. Darling, shall we?
Oh, well, yeah, that rules him out. Well, actually, it was the former Greens leader, Bob Brown. She said, I liked him, but was never beguiled, unlike many, many others, many of his followers. Does that surprise you?
It does a little.
Well, he helped her in forming her government, her parliament.
Indeed, clearly, it was much more transactional than... Look, I think the love between Labor and Greens, perhaps more generally, has certainly waxed and waned over the time, and she certainly came at a difficult time. So I'm sure that colours the personal element of it as well.
Yes, well, they've been affairs of convenience, haven't they? Mm. All right, now, number three, the final one. Who was she talking about when she said, a more nuanced understanding of electoral politics than I possessed? A compliment for someone.
I know this one.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. He's Western Australian.
Is it Stephen Smith? I'm just going to say Stephen Smith just because Stephen Smith does have an
Kim
incredible...
Beasley.
Kim Beasley. Nice one, Andrew Mears. Very, very nice.
Yeah, so I knew he was in there somewhere.
Now, just before we have to part ways, some predictions for the week. Mark Humphreys. I have a friend who's a Humphreys.
That's fine.
What's your prediction for some of the headlines in the week ahead?
Well, I think after Jackie Lambie's triumphant appearance on Insiders, Mal Meninga will have the courage to return to politics. Come on, Mal.
Yes, that was a quaint time, wasn't it? What about you, Andrew Mears?
Look, as the Prime Minister wings his way back from New York this week, I dare say the F-A-18 Super Hornet pilots will be revving their engines. And I think after a cabinet meeting, we will be seeing headlines that involve the deployment of our SAS commandos into Iraq. And I think initially it'll be reconnaissance missions followed by perhaps bombs away over Iraq.
It's likely. Will you be travelling?
No. I do find it interesting that... ISIS, have a very amazing social media strategy, which you touched on before, Cassie.
Mm.
But we're still stuck under a loose-lips, sink ships military propaganda war here. And so media is very, very restricted. So I do say there will be some level of access, but it's very controlled.
And so,
we're very keen to, as media practitioners, very keen to contribute to that and the understanding of what's happening and what our people are doing over there. But access is controlled by them. So, you know, we'll be certainly requesting and keen to show what's happening.
Mm. What about you, Melissa Clark? Do you have any sort of thoughts about the way the political landscape will reveal itself next week?
Yes, well, certainly that will be what will dominate next week. We can expect to hear the news that Australians are officially and finally, after much prefacing and pre-deployment and planning and preparation, involved in strikes. The headline that some might like to see would be Abbott ordering not strikes on Iraq, but perhaps on some elements of his own backbench, which is certainly making life more difficult for the Prime Minister at the moment. There might be some quiet advice in the next party room meeting about keeping focused on the main point at hand. But Tony Abbott will be hoping that won't be in the headlines, but I'm sure that'll be going on behind the scenes.
Well, who knows? Who knows what the effect on the budget will mean with the launching of this new venture into I guess war? Are we calling it war yet?
Well, everyone else is, but Australia is not. Is the curious part? Tony Abbott is still saying it's a humanitarian mission. even though the US have been willing to call it a war. I think on that basis we could probably refer to the forthcoming anniversary of World Humanitarian Mission 1 on that basis. If the idea of stopping a genocide is a humanitarian mission, then we've done that on a number of times on a global scale. But perhaps by the time we have the Defence Force involved in strikes, there might be a willingness to call it something more.
Well, on that rather dim and dark note, we do end our joyful gathering. Thank you both. Thank you to you all, in fact, for being here. Andrew Mears, Chief Photographer of Fairfax in the Canberra Bureau, and Melissa Clark, Federal Politics Reporter for ABC News 24, joining us from Canberra. Off you go, get through that security cordon.
Thank you.
And to Mark Humphreys from The Roast, ABC Two, now at the new time of 7:30.
Please watch.
Do watch, yes.
Jackie Frank is the editor and publisher of Marie Claire Australia. She launched it 19 years ago and is still responsible for every page of the magazine that mixes high fashion and proper journalism.
We're just putting to bed the November issue. I actually did the cover yesterday. We finished and signed off on the cover lines and the way that it looks. At the same time, we've been laying out the pages for December and we've been planning January.
Jackie Frank on the Media Report. Listen anytime at the RN website.